You're connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network.
K-E-A-W-U-O. N-A-W-R-O. Perfect timing, John. Got a question for you.
All righty. Go ahead, sir.
In a DEC, my standardized analog code plug, there was one mistake. It was Lance Cruz's call sign, which I fixed. I'm about ready to post it to crowdsource it to command. Do you know what the other errors were? Do you remember? Because I don't.
There was something involving the UMP. I'm not sure exactly what it was. But that's the gist of it.
Connected to CMN Network.
Alrighty, I got 443.625. Oh, maybe inside the plug. There might have been something. I'll have to look inside then. So I corrected the PDF, color cheat sheet. And I'll post it in leadership and see if anyone else finds. So there you go. Appreciate it. Thanks.
Yeah, no problem. I don't think it was in the code plug. I thought it was, it didn't have that it was the KCN UMP, or it was, something was different with it, but it was more subtle. It was not like maybe it didn't say that it was the KCA UMP. I forget exactly what it was, but I have a marked up sheet of it somewhere that I can probably dig out and look, but all right, well, yeah, you could still use the old one. It's just got the call sign wrong, so. But if you're going to update it there, it probably couldn't hurt to update it in the code plug section, too.
No, I see it now that you pointed it out. He's missing the C. It's K8 UMP, so it should be Kilo Charlie 8 UMP, correct?
Yep, that's it. I knew there was something screwy with it. That was very, very close to being right, and it might even look right at first glance, but there's something wrong with it. But, all right, well, good. I'm glad you got that figured out.
And then the other one was for Lance Cruz, November 8, Lima Charlie, not Charlie Lima. And I'll create a new PDF for this and make sure you get access to it, and maybe you could fix the website, because they got the old one on there.
Yeah, so for the website side, we just need to go to the code plug section and swap out those PDFs, so it's really easy. You know, it just basically anything in that SharePoint it will put on the website. So if you take that PDF out of there, it will no longer be on the website. And then if you replace it with the one you want, then that will be on the website. So I try to make it so that it's stupid simple. But either way, yeah, if you get that to me, I'll make sure it's up there. But should you ever want to do it on your own, you can.
Oh, I forgot that I could do it myself, so thanks for reminding, John. I'll take care of that this morning. And then I knew what I forgot to discuss with you was the on a related matter for the documents on the IT meeting about a hierarchy. Is it possible to have folders at some point so that we can make some kind of organization for the documents? Because if we don't have folders in a hierarchy, it's going to get really messy real fast.
Yeah, it's sort of, you know, the member packet area is already getting a bit cluttered, but it sounds like that's the part where I paused, because it sounds like you're aware of more documents that are about to hit the website, and I think a folder structure is probably in order, but until I know what I have, you know, until we know what's coming, then it's a little bit hard to make a folder structure for it, but by all means, I think that would be a good idea, and I will help you, but that's something I think we'll need to get together on to try to figure out what that would look like and all that. So if you want to make the folder structure and then put the documents in it, then that works too. And I can try to get it to understand the folder structure that you create, so that if we add new folders to a directory, you know, it basically will plot all the subfolders and the documents inside, and just goes right to the website. And so we can try to do something like that, which is probably what you're after.
Yeah, that's correct. In the members only section, I tried to put a folder, but it didn't translate to the website. I was allowed to put it in, but it didn't carry over to the website. So now there's just a whole mess of documents with no structure. So that's really all it would be, is for me to be able to put a folder in not only members only, but in any, you know, the public site as well.
Gotcha, yeah. All right, yeah, we'll have to look at that, because that is going to require some logic changes and whatnot, but we can do that. I'll try to get into that this week. I don't have a set date or anything. I was going to say we'll get into it next IT meeting, but I think I have enough to go on to make you happy, so I'll just try to get something together, and then we'll have something to start with.
Yeah, not the highest priority, John, just so you have it in the back of your mind, and it was my memory, I forgot to mention it yesterday. And we also got the weekend, we got something else going on, and then your next IT meeting is dedicated to something else, so yeah, you know, whenever you get to it. We can have a lot of documents on there and just kind of, you know, clean it up a little bit, and it'll look a lot nicer. The member pack, the blue item on the website, that's going to be actually a subfolder in membership only, not necessarily the main heading. But you and I can get to this, enough said. You and I can get to this at a later date. That aside, how was your morning? I assume you're heading in.
Yeah, it's good. So far, so good. I'm finally done dog sitting and cat sitting for now. So I'm kind of back to normal, which is nice, which I guess will be nice doesn't feel any different yet, but when I get home tonight and unwind, it'll be nice to be at the QTH, and I can sit there and work on that wise box until midnight and then go to bed instead of, you know, what I was doing all this last week. So it'll be nice to be back home. Other than that, you know, I guess same old, same old. Yeah, just packed up a little bit from the house today and just heading to work now. And that's about it. What about you? Anything new and exciting?
Well, I got that Lenovo laptop being delivered today, so I'm going to be interested in, you know, getting it charged up and getting it ready to go, getting the PDF loaded for class. Looking forward to that, and just kind of batting down the hatches because it's going to be a warm day. Wondering if Rocky's coming to work with you and how he tolerates the heat. I guess he's in the AC, so that should be all right.
Yeah, that's the ticket. He does come to work with me, and he does pretty well with the heat. He tends to want to go outside until he feels it out there, and then he's rather, you know, goal-orientated. Just get the pee and the poo over with, and then he's hanging out by the door. So, which is nice. but yeah, that Lenovo laptop, that'll be cool. I'm excited for you. If you need any help today getting the SharePoints on there or getting the add-in on that, let me know, you know. Happy to help there. And that is going to be exciting. It'll be cool. You can download your Excel app, too. And Outlook and all that, that'd probably be another, you maybe need the link for that, but you should be able to just find any link and then sign into your account, so, but if you need any help with any of that, just let me know. And, yeah, I guess that's about it.
N-A-W-R-O. Yeah, thanks, John. I appreciate it. Yeah, that would be the eventual use for it, of course. I want to get it all fixed up and ready to use. But as long as I can use it for class, I suppose that's good. But I appreciate that. Yeah, I'll keep that in mind. And I purposely did not get the Office version that, you know, the Office for Life version because we're on 365. So I know there was no need to pay a little bit more for that because, you know, basically not going to use it anyway.
Yeah, it is nice to have that type of thing, you know. It's sort of unfortunate the way that they've done Excel nowadays where you don't get all the cool bells and whistles of Microsoft 365 and the you know, co-authoring of documents and all that, unless you pay for this specific, you know, type of subscription and how that they're different, you know. But you know, it's good that you got it. It's good that that you're able to use the stuff that we use, and I think that'll just make it a lot easier on everybody. But yeah, that'll be good to have another person, you know, with a mobile device, a laptop that can do net control and the like. I think you will enjoy that.
Wait, what? Net control? Wait a minute. You're trying to draft me without me thinking about it. Yeah, it was interesting that one document I made, the letterhead document, when you try to open it not within Word, I don't know how that worked. The formatting was totally off. You have to open it with the program, or the formatting is off, and it just kind of, I don't know why that is. But anyways, it looks good, I guess.
Yeah, that's one of the weirdest things about, you know, Word documents is, and, you know, DocXs, and then you have to Google, like a lot of different applications want to be able to open that, and they all don't display it the same way, and that's where, you know, partly I was trying to tell Dave, you know, when we export a letterhead, it's probably a good idea to, or any Word document, ultimately, even like me, I have the preambles, and I'm downloading a Word version of the preamble, which I don't want to do, you know, it's better if we use a PDF of it, because then the aspect ratio and all of that is locked in, and it won't change, it'll display the same on everyone's document, and so, so that's kind of just life nowadays, is whatever you're working in, whether it's Excel or Word, when you want to distribute it, it's best to just export it as a PDF, and that kind of affords you two things, you know, number one, you have guaranteed viewability, and, you know, everybody should be able to see it, so compatibility, but then, it also, like, you know, you're not giving away your company letterhead that, you know, somebody can just, well, you know, ARPSC is officially a XX company now, and it's owned by me, and, you know, like you can start to put things on a company letterhead that we might wish you didn't, so, I don't know.
Yeah, I meant to comment on that when you mentioned it today, because that's, as you know, that's the way I operated with all the rosters. I always have two versions, a Word version, and then what I consider a locked down PDF version. And yeah, it's more portable, it's more universal, I guess, with the Word P. And also, it, to some degree, it is a little bit good. It's better for security, although you could always duplicate something nowadays, but... yep, I hear you, and that's the way to do it.
Yeah, I've learned that a lot of things in life is about keeping, you know, the honest man out or whatever, you know, even your doors and your house, you know, they're pretty easily bypassed, but I think, you know, you do things like that to just make sure that, not easy to do something that you don't want someone to do and put a little bit of a hurdle in front of it. It tends to work out pretty well most of the time. But, yeah, we're just keeping the industrial sub here, so it's a little bit scratchier, especially on this little jog of the journey here.
Yep, you called it, John. You are at the end of your rope. I heard everything, though. So have a good day. Stay cool. Make sure you take care of Rocky, which you always do. November 8, Whiskey Romeo Oscar. After you, John, I'll listen out.
All right. Well, you have a good day, sir. I will talk to you later. Enjoy the new laptop, and try not to have too much fun today.
K-E-A-W-U-O.
You're connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
playing PDF mobile.
W8FU, Kate's here.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Pay the $20.
Okay, fine. V8-3 cancel.
Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
KPR.
Wish it was just a little warmer.
W8FU, W8EAP.
You're connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
Yo.
Hey, guess what? I got the head. Came today. They must have put wings on it. Very cool. Well, that's exciting. Okay, but here's the issue. Okay, I got it already installed and hooked up, and it seems to work great. Except that the only color I can get on it is, you know, gray and black and white. Basically, it's either the main channel's, you know, white letters on black, and the other one's black letters on gray. I'm trying to figure out how to change the colors on this thing, and it's like not letting me. The color selection for each channel is grayed out. Any idea why that is?
My understanding is there's no options that you get their color scheme, which is like. It's like a blue and a black on white and a blue, you know, white on blue or something. And my understanding is there's no option to change that.
Okay. Well, I know I've seen in some videos, you know, having it the one side be like my other head showed. It was white on black on one, and then blue on white on the other. I can't even get that. I just got black and gray. but I know I've seen videos of the E5 head with those other colors. Just I can't figure out how to make it do that.
Well, you know more about it than me.
Ooh, that's depressing. Okay. All right, I'll keep scouring around, see if I can figure out. There must be some way to get it like I saw a video of. But otherwise, it's pretty cool. I like it. Aside from getting the color tweaked, is it working as you expected? Yeah, it's so number one, it's got five function buttons. Actually, six is another one you can program. And there's shows full information on both sides, you know, on two sides of the screen. You know, you can see what channel the other one's on and, you know, everything. So, it's, which is kind of nice.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Well, I don't know if you were talking. If you did, then you got covered up by the announcement. No, I'm in the middle of going back and forth with something work-related. I was just typing a reply. All right, sounds good. I'll let you know if I find anything. Talk to you later. See you, Peter. All right, I look forward to seeing it. Sounds good. And, you'll have this all figured out for when the rest of us get them.
What kind of new toys?
No, I got a new control head for my dual radio setup.
Is that fancy one that does all the things?
Yeah, he even makes me coffee in the morning.
Well, I'll be damned.
Yeah, took forever to get here. Got lost in the mail for about a week and a half. But it arrived today.
Sounds a lot newer than the stuff I'm playing with.
What do you got?
I was down to Gross Point today, and Anthony had a box of SL7550Es that all had CPS protection. So I'm flashing all of them so we can program them. They're actually kind of cool little radios.
Oh. You mean they were locked?
Yeah, they had CPS passwords.
Wonderful. Alright. Alright, I gotta get back to working on this stuff here. Catch you later, KPR.
Sounds good, NADDF.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
KE8RUH to NADDF.
What up?
What's going on? So, did you get those things to go pretty easily?
Yeah, I got one more to flash, and then they're all ready to go.
I was trying to do what you did in that, like, whatever that is, like, a recovery mode or whatever it is, and I just couldn't get it to work for me. Did you have to do any finagling, or did it just work?
I don't know if it's the machine you're on or if it's my repeater, but you're clipping really bad. But I just, all I had to do was, so initially I thought I had to use CPS 16, but that was not the case. So I downloaded a newer firmware. You can't go backwards, but you go forward. So it's on. They're on R020805. So I downloaded the latest or the oldest I could find, which was 0210-something. So then I was able to open that up in 2.0 and then recover them by flashing the new firmware, which then writes a new code plug.
Cool. So are they now on 2.0?
Yes, sir.
Awesome. So I was barking up the right tree. I just didn't get up the tree.
I didn't catch that. What did you say?
I said I was barking up the right tree. I just didn't get up the tree.
I think it's my radio that's freaking out. I still can't hear you. It's like it's scanning, but it keeps dropping the transmit. Hold on, let me check my dashboard.
I'm hearing both of you just fine, W8RCY.
And I just heard you just fine.
Interesting. I'm hearing you fine, and I heard Donald fine.
I don't know what's going on.
Last comment. Could be the heat and humidity affecting something somewhere. Carry on, gentlemen, W8RCY.
Yeah, who knows? This heat's not good for anything, but I don't know if it would affect that.
No, it seems like it's something on my end. I'm sure. This thing, what do we got here? It hasn't rebooted in 29 days, but that shouldn't be an issue.
When you first said it, I thought it was maybe on my end. I had my DMR radio sitting next to the head of my ICOM, and sometimes when it's searching for repeaters, it will cause some interference, but I turned that the DMR radio off, so it shouldn't be happening anymore, but it sounds like it's still happening on your end.
Yeah, let me grab my 7550. Hold on. All right, let's see if this is any better.
All right, yeah, I can definitely tell you're on a different radio, that's for sure. What radio were you on first?
It's my R7, it's like having a stroke, so I just was rebooting it.
That's interesting, but your audio on the R7 is much better.
Well, it is a way more gooder radio.
Some might say it's the bestest radio.
That is until
I'm wondering if
it comes out.
The squelch that's freaking out. Like, it's too, this is weird. I've never had an issue with this radio.
I'm not sure who that was that doubled with Dakota, but go ahead.
Oh, you said the R7 is the bestest, and I said that is until the R8 comes out.
Well, yeah. Let's see when it comes out. We'll be the judge of the bestest after that.
It'll be more better. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, whatever you're on now, Dakota, you sound kind of weak and thin.
Not at the normal office and on a different schedule.
I'm on my R7, Sean, so I don't know. The thing's being a little wonky. The weird thing is you just came in totally fine, no drops, no packet loss, and then Anthony's clipping like a mofo.
I am literally under the antenna of the repeater right now, so I imagine I'm going to trounce just about anybody, totally. So could be that. But, yeah, you just sound good. Your audio is good, but it's light.
That's what's kind of odd, and I don't know you to be light.
That's interesting. Sean, are you hearing any clipping in my signal? Because I'm at 696 and 75 on the Warren FBI and never have any trouble, at least that I'm aware of.
No, you sound all you. All Anthony goodness. But anyhow, I'll let you guys carry on. I got to run in my next stop here real quick. And I'll be back out momentarily, I hope. W8FU. I always sound good.
What you all have just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent responses were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone on this network is now dumber for having listened to it, and I award you no points. May God have mercy on all of our souls.
Fred, I'm just glad that I could contribute something today.
That was a good answer, JFADIC.
Exactly. W8FSM.
Good afternoon, Jack, Fred. And, yeah, that further confirms that it's just Anthony coming into my radio. That sounds weird. I don't get it.
Could I get a little bit closer to your mic? You look like you're about 10 feet from your mic.
All right, Dakota, Fred, Jack, I'll catch up with you guys later. KE8RUH, I'm pulling up to the house.
Yeah, hey, yeah, I see. You still there, Dakota?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what's going on with this radio.
I don't know, that's a little bit better now.
Your radio is fine, Dakota. It's not you.
Are you hearing the clipping also?
Jack is just so ungodly loud. He needs to back off his mic.
It's not an audio clip. It's like a packet loss clip where it's just like, I don't know, I'm catching every other word.
Turn off your PL decode, because if your PL gets shouted out on the your PL decode on the channel.
Okay. Hey. All right, let's try that again. All right, cancel one membership, start another one, and it's a wash. Everybody hit the destination.
Sure.
So just as I was jumping out of the vehicle, I heard you quoting, what was that movie? Now I can't remember. But anyhow, what was that in response to?
The previous traffic on this network.
Well, I heard Anthony and Dakota talking about his R7 and his audio, and I was joking about the R7's the bestest radio until the R8 comes out. I don't remember, what did I miss?
Oh, you're clipping. No, you're all doubling. I have a feeling the PL level into the R7 is not enough. So when people are shouting out the PL, which sounds like packet loss, when it's not packet loss, it's actually, you're muting, your radio is muting. So I had Anthony go disable PL and just run C-Squelch on the channel and see what his R7 would do. Yeah.
No, that's Dakota's R7, and you sound fine, but Sean is clipping, so...
I have been accused of that. This radio is supposedly pretty loud, but, I don't know, so... Were you being your usual charming self, winning friends and inspiring people?
Sorry, I'm at Dakota's radio, and I'm on a Motorola, so I expect my audio to be the best. And yes, I've been in a Teams call from 2 to 3, and now 3 is still going, and it's probably not going to stop for another 45 minutes, and I'm kind of hungry.
People have lost fingers for less.
And yes, I was trying to win friends and be such a great Elmer to Dakota here and everybody else that's on this network.
Oh, you have such a bubbly way, too.
Yes, yes, I do. It's this confidence and charm I have. You know, women love me and throw themselves at me, and men just want to be me.
I've heard they've written ballads.
And effigies and everything else. I am the F-effort, remember?
How could we forget? Anyhow!
Teams call that I'm on, 3/4 of it has been your EDs to your SBs to the DROs to the SDDOs, the amount of, there's 3/4 more acronyms in here. Have we not heard, AOP, the AOP, the ND of the SB, the thing of the op, of the DRO, I should say the AD, not the ND. I need more XYZ. Have we not? Oh my God, plain English people. That's what I'm hearing in my ear right now.
Hey, Dr. Fred.
No, you can't call me Dr. Fred. You can call me Dr. Love.
Oh, you can call me anything you like, except late for dinner.
Channel bandwidth was up to 12.5 some way, somehow.
Oh, that'll do it. Go ahead, Randy.
I was just going to say, you can call me anything you want, except late for dinner.
Is that you late for dinner?
No, can't be me. I don't answer to that.
Yeah, Warren's Finest got 2 fully upfitted SUVs sitting in the local high school parking lot. I mean, I was used to seeing one there all the time, but 2!
Connected to CMN Network.
Wasn't there a chewing gum commercial from several years ago that kind of describes that? Double the pleasure, double the fun?
Two freshmen in one.
I better mute mine really quick.
Alrighty. NAVDS, 23 and Torrey Road, North Bob.
Hello, Randy, and I will say goodbye, Randy, and goodbye, Fred, and goodbye, Dakota. I don't know if Anthony's still out here, but I'm pulling into the port.
I reinstated my Jack's car wash because my dirty girl, I can't, the dirt road I'm on, the car is constantly needed to wash. And I canceled my Planet Fitness because I wasn't using it, so it's a wash. I need both, but I'll use one and I haven't been using the other. I'm sure it doesn't go unnoticed. Later on, I'm destituted. W8FU.
All right, back, Danny. Have a good evening. Stay cool. Danny Vita. I'm pausing my subscription to my Tommy's because the new porcupine of a truck, I have to, yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, with all that new fancy hardware now, are you experiencing some navigational issues here and there? So as long as the antenna is on 15 meters and below, I don't exceed 9 feet, so that's good. You go above 15 meters, and the antenna is over 9 feet on the screwdriver. I have weather caps, so I can unscrew them and, you know, drive through just fine for all the antennas, but I'm kind of, yeah.
You didn't happen to notice the pictures I posted in our Slack group there a little while ago of the Tahoe, did you?
Did somebody hit your Tahoe?
Okay.
In the yard at work, one of the young kids backing the truck up with a trailer behind it, not freaking paying attention, had his head up his ass, and backed it into the freaking bumper of my Tahoe, not once but twice. Big tear on the left side and a big hole right in the center of it. Well, if you're going to do something, you might as well do it right and make sure you're the first time and the second time, you know, just driving it home.
Well, that's why I said that whole bumper got to get replaced now, and on this, it's all one piece, that front valance part that runs up alongside the radiator and has the Chevy Bowtie logo there in the center. That whole part of that is all that same piece, so that's all got to get changed.
New speed. Oh, it says new speed. I wondered when that was coming, or what happened. I kind of figured something scratched it, but I didn't know where it was when I saw it this morning.
So anyways, the boss said, don't worry about it, she'll take care of it. And he had a guy doing some work on one of our other trucks here in the shop, doing some body stuff, and he used to work for us, and she already had him totally write it up, go ahead and get the bumper and everything ordered and get it taken care of. So, it's already in the works.
Well, that's really good of him.
Well, I kind of thought so. I appreciate it. I mean, you know, another employee and in his lot and stuff, so he was going to take the appropriate remedial action for the offender and said that I shouldn't have to be penalized as a result of it, and he'd take care of it.
All right. They're saying we can take a 5-minute break. So I'm going to go upstairs and microwave some pork. I think I'll do either pork, maybe I'll do some pork. I got one more piece in. Microwave up a piece of pork and refill my water, so I'll be right back. W8FSM.
Yeah, no worries. I'm just headed home, so get home and relax a little bit. Tired of being out in this heat today. It's time to go home. Catch up with you in a bit. Any media.
K-A-C-E-F, Colin.
This is KATES calling for anybody listening.
I'm listening.
Not a faint, I'm listening in there. Over.
What's the call again? This is November 8th, Whiskey's leaving.
Call sign here is Kilo 8, Charlie Echo, Sierra. I think I caught the November 8 Whiskey something.
November 8, Whiskey Julia Lima. November 8, we just landed.
Copy you, MHWJL. Joseph, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. Just try to stay out the heat. What you looked up my call on the QRZ or something?
Copy that. I am driving home myself from work here. I'm on 69 eastbound, just passing through all that construction they got by Shorts Creek here. Didn't copy that last part of your transmission. Over.
Yeah. I said, how did you know my name? Did you look it up on the QRZ?
I just popped it in into my portable logger here on my phone. I'm using Ham2K Polo, and I just popped the call sign in there and popped up your name there.
Ham2K Call. Ham, two like numbers two.
Yeah, it is Ham, just like Ham, H-A-M, 2 as the number 2, and then K as letter kilo. But yeah, it's a great little portable logger. I do quite a bit of POTA, and that's typically what I log with on my phone.
Roger, Roger. Okay. That's a good one.
Yeah, it's a good app. Pulls all the all the operators' information, QTH, name. Also, too, if people are out at parks, it'll kind of throw them on the little spot section. So it's a great app. Go around it all in one. I always recommend it out. Well, Joe, I think I might have to leave you here. It sounds like I'm breaking up from the repeater. I might be just kind of coming up to the end of the reach of it. But thanks for answering my call and chatting a bit. Hope you have a good rest of your day and try to stay cool out there. 73-NAWJL, this is KACES, please.
Okay, you know what you said,
the
website is Ham2Polo?
Yeah, Ham2K, 2K, 2 Kilo Polo. If you look it up on the App Store, it should pop up as Ham2K Polo. Over.
Thank you. All right, well, we'll see 73 Mobile Easy out there in AWGL. I'm going to be clear.
Have a good one in 73, KACES, clear.
Foxtrot 8 Echo Tango Quebec, anyone out there?
What's up, Darren? NADBF.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Not much, how about you?
Not a whole lot, just finished programming, or not programming, but updating a bunch of Motorola SL7550Es and testing it out on DMR.
Are those the older generation of them, by any chance?
So these are the old cell phone looking tiny 2-watt UHF digital only Motorola's. They're tiny. I don't know, the naming convention Motorola chooses is not great. 7550, SL7550 versus XDR7550, they're not even close. But it's a sweet, tiny little radio. If you got a hotspot or open spot or something like that, it's the perfect radio.
So considering they're digital only, I'm guessing they were originally intended, as with probably anything from Motorola, for the commercial market, probably, right?
100%. If you're a big DMR guy, they're a great radio. If you're doing a lot of simplex, they're a great radio, you know, close-range stuff. I'm going to post some in the Discord, actually. There's a bunch of them, and they're going to be going up for sale, so... super cool little radios, but like I said, digital only. They charge with a micro USB, which is a bummer, but at the same time, you don't need a charging cradle. And the batteries are super cheap, too.
Do the Motorola radios also happen to, what's it called? Do the Motorola radios have like a USB-C charger on them normally, or is that just an oddity for Motorola?
Typically, you cannot charge a Motorola radio with a USB cable, so that's another cool feature of these things, is you don't need to lug around a charging cradle. You can just plug in, I mean, albeit it is a micro USB, but it's a lot easier to pack a micro USB cable than it is a charging cradle. Like, my 7550E cradle is huge.
Also, that would allow for you then to just have a charging cable in your backpack with you, and you can just plug it into a USB power brick or something like that, I'm guessing, or a power brick that you have for your normal use, or for that matter, a USB power bank that you have for your normal, like, phone in that.
Exactly.
I'm kind of wondering right now where the everyone else is, because usually at this time of day, I usually manage to find RIT and a few others on the repeaters.
Yeah, I don't know. I've been on a bit of a hiatus myself. Just kind of jumping on here to test some stuff. I've been pretty busy lately, so heard you out there. Just wanted to come back to you and say, hey, what's up? And keep an eye out on the Discord. I'm going to post these things here shortly.
I'll look out for them, not that I'm actually probably going to consider buying any of them, though. Kilo Foxtrot 8 Echo Tango, Quebec.
N8DBF.
K-E-A-W-U-O. K-E-A-R-U-H from K-E-A-W-U-O.
Connected to CMN Network.
Panorama. Do 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 do. 97 degrees. According to Ford Sync. Good evening. My phone hit 100 today, and I never even saw the outside world I stayed in today. So, yeah, I was surprised to see triple digits. Probably best you didn't venture out. I was indoors mostly between air-conditioned cars and air-conditioned workplaces and
didn't have to spend a lot of time out in the heat.
Well, the heat doesn't affect me breathing-wise as much as the cold does. When I was stricken with COVID in 2019, it compromised my lungs. And like for me to walk across the street to Kroger's or Starbucks or something like that, or even get a pizza. Sometimes I'll go over there and walk over there and get a pizza and a salad or something. Walk over there in the wintertime, I have to actually cover my mouth, because if I breathe in too much cold air, I could be in trouble. Yeah, it gets too cold, you gotta watch. Oh man, at least filter it through like a scarf or something like that. Warm it up a touch. But, yeah, we were talking about, well, you were listening when we were talking about the cold versus the heat. I don't like to complain about either too much, but like Dakota had said earlier, but you get to a point where you've had enough.
W8RCY.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, you get to that breaking point where enough is enough. But like I say, I can, you think somebody worked in a meat cooler for 25 years, I could take the cold. And I used to work in short sleeves in a meat packing cooler because I was always moving. But now, as I've aged a little bit and been, you know, had these issues since COVID, I can still take cold. I can't handle the wind. So, you know, again, if I were to walk across the street to, you know, the mall across the street, I would have to be really bundled up because the cold would just cut right through me. I'm just weird like that, I guess. That's what happens when you get old, really old.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Well, the circulation on the extremities, particularly the feet and the hands and the stuff, gets a little weaker, so causes you to get a little colder. But did you ever get COVID?
Right around Thanksgiving 2019, I came down with it. Looked at the doctor, says that, you know, I've had like viral infections and flu-like symptoms before. But this put me out for about 8 days, and it wasn't until January of 2020 that I realized I had an AFib situation and a lung situation, and they determined by then, because it was in March of 2020, the big pandemic hit and the world shut down. So I basically had it almost 5 months prior to the actual pandemic. But they didn't know exactly what it was I had. They just chalked it off to a viral infection. Nope. Diagnosed with it down the road.
I had it once, very late. I don't remember. It was 22, 23. Somewhere, you know, quite a ways after the worst of it. And it was bad. It wasn't, you know, it was never hospital bad. But I'll tell you what, for a couple of days, it just removed me from consciousness. I was just out for a few days, and then I slowly started to get back and back around to things. But I'll tell you what, it took a long time to get fully clear of it, and in many respects, I'm still trying to recover from it in some respects.
Well, one thing for certain is the weight loss that I've had, my heart and my lungs have improved. I mean, I still got my little breathing machines. If anybody wants a breathing machine, I got like a half a dozen of them. Every time I go to the hospital, they give me another one. I said, I already got two at home. Well, here's a third. Well, that means I got one in the kitchen, one in the living room, one in the bedroom. But I got to do that, and I've been slacking. But you know, seeing doctors and a new cardiologist. I go to Dr. Durrani over here now at Henry Ford. Easier to get to, and you know, I switched from Henry Ford over from Omont Corwell Health. So, yeah. But, I mean, I'm improving. The AFib thing is pretty much under control. But, yeah, those are the only lasting effects that I ever had from it. And was the AFib and the breathing issues. So, yeah.
Well, there you go. So, I like Henry Ford's system. You've been with it for quite some time. Now, we switched over to Blue Care Network, but we still go to, you know, through the whole Henry Ford system. We just use our Blue Care Network cards with them. So, we had HAP. They were connected at one time. They deny it now, but they were definitely tied at the hip for a while. All right, I'm home. I got to get inside. I'll be back in here in a little bit, perhaps. After yours, W8FU.
Well, okie dokie. You're landing the plane for the evening. I thought maybe you were on your way out to go get something to eat, but you're on your way back. So enjoy your meal. I might watch a little bit of the All-Star game. I was really bummed last night that I'd come to find out that the Home Run Derby was on Netflix. I don't have Netflix. I mean, I can live stream a lot of stuff, but Netflix isn't one of them. You have the good old days when you don't have to pay for all this extra stuff. But I might watch a little bit of the game tonight, so we'll see. All right, have a good evening. W8RCY.
W8RIT.
K-E-A-W-U-O.
N-A-W-R-O listening.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
How's that new laptop treating you, sir? K-E-A-W-U-O.
Yeah, I'm good with it. I got it, although I didn't do anything for, like, the group, but I did, you know, get the basics installed. I did get as far as getting Adobe installed, and I got Discord installed so that I could upload, you know, that document. So I've got the bare necessities for the class. And, of course, anything extra, I will eventually get the rest installed. But I'm happy with it. It's good. And I also got, of course, a cordless mouse to go with it, which is working fine. So I think I'm going to be set for this weekend.
Nice. Yeah, that reminds me. I thought I knew the full extent of the damage to my laptop bag, but I pulled my mouse out the other day that is in one piece. It looks fine, but of all the buttons on it, which there are like six, the left click is the one that doesn't work. It's sort of the most important one. So I'm going to have to go get a new mouse. Another $60, $70 down the drain. I don't have to get that expensive a mouse, but that's the damages anyway.
Yeah, I know you like to probably go a little higher end than I do on stuff like that. I got me, I think it was a $15 Logitech mouse, next day delivery. The Amazon people, of course, but yeah, it works. We'll see how long it lasts.
Yeah, I was, you know, the way it worked is, you know, I always worked on the floor. I was a grunt, you know, in the machine shops, and had to buy tools. And, you know, these guys that do tool building, tool making, they'll invest tens of thousands of dollars kind of at a minimum, you know, on tooling and tools for their toolboxes at work. And so I started to accumulate a lot of that stuff, and then I got pulled into office work. And I kind of had the mindset of, like, if I want nice things for me to use at work, then I have to buy them because they're my tool, you know. And so I tried getting IT to get me a second monitor and a nice keyboard and, you know, all that, but they wouldn't do it. And, but I, you know, it's like I use these things every day. I would like them to be, you know, to have the bells and whistles. Mainly I like the mouse with the back button. So I got really comfortable with my setup at work and ran that for years. But then you start running into stuff at home and you want to do a lot more stuff at home. And, well, I kind of want the same setup I have at work because I'm used to it. And so that's kind of why I go with that. But I've made do with a cheap mouse with like two buttons for a long, long time. So you definitely don't need to spend a lot of money. And I like corded mice. I've had nothing but bad luck with the wireless stuff. But yeah, I don't know. Look forward to getting that fixed.
Yeah, this newer cordless that I got today, you flip it over when you turn a switch on. On the older one, I see a little red light. You know, the red light, it's the, you know, the light for making the mouse work. On this one, the newer style, there's nothing. You don't see anything on. I thought I got a dud or something, but then I just plopped it down and saw the cursor, and it works fine. So, yeah, I'm good with that. But, yeah, I know my dad was a tool and die guy all his life. So, yeah. A lot of nice fancy tools. Remember his machine toolbox was he had a really old one, which was out of wood, and then he had the newer one, which is a black metal thing with all the calipers in it and all that stuff. Oh my goodness. And I hate to think of nowadays how much you know, all that would cost collectively.
Yeah, the price on all that stuff has just skyrocketed, and I'm a little torn on the whole digital versus analog. You know, I was you know, raised with the analog side, and I like that because you can really kind of get a sense for how far it is out of tolerance by looking at that gauge. But the digital stuff, you know, it's, you gotta trust it more, you know, whereas like a analog gauge, you can, you know, measure it a couple times and see it repeat and see how close it is to, you know, accurately repeating. But the digital gauge, you know, you don't get to see it as much as it just displays what you should expect, which you can still get it to repeat, but just doesn't seem the same. But yeah, that stuff's all gotten really expensive, and those poor guys, you know, they spend a ton of money, and it really takes away from their income, you know. And never really understood. I always felt bad when I went to salary. It's like, well, what the heck, like, I can leave early, but these guys can't, you know, like, I don't know. I kind of feel like a lot of the tool and die grunts get the short end of the stick, and they don't deserve that, but that's for another day.
Yeah, I do. I was a kid back then, but I do remember my brothers and I did not go into that field at all. So when he retired, he was a working foreman on the night shift, and I know he bequeathed all his tools, to one of the young up-and-coming toolmen at his shop there. So that ought to be a little head start for that guy. That was good. That was many years ago. So, yeah, I'm sure whoever that was, they're retired in their career already by now.
Yeah, it's kind of one of the nicest things you can do, and you know, I got a buddy that I hired in, or got hired in, at my shop, and he was a woodworker, so he's a little bit like Mike in that, you know, he has all the woodworking tools. He
has all the tools he needs for most things, but when it came to tool and die, you know, he doesn't have calipers, he doesn't have micrometers, he doesn't have depth gauges, the height gauge, you know, all the kind of bells and whistles you need as a machinist, you know, indicators and all that, he didn't have. And then he also it kind of sucks too, because for, you know, those type of people, you buy all that stuff, you bring it to work, it lives at work, but then you got to work on your fridge, your washer and dryer, and you need all that stuff again for at home. So you end up buying everything multiple times. And then I think it was even worse for my dad, because he had a cabin. And so it's like you need it for the cabin, you need it for the house, and you need it for work. But yeah, if you can kind of take a guy like that under your wing and get him into the company and show him the ropes, teach him all the tricks of the trade, and then lend him your tools without a lot of strings attached, you know, that changes life. So it was very kind of your old man to do that. And he, being in the position he was in, I'll bet he was not complacent. He always wanted to probably climb the ladder and try something different, and I can relate to that. It's a dying thing.
Yeah, I think he knew when he put his papers in that's it. You know, he's not going to, you know, he's done. He's not going back. And, you know, the main toolkit there, like you said, he had more at home as well, but the main toolkit at the shop he was not going to need. So, you know, he passed it on. It was probably one of those pass it forward, because I imagine many years prior to that, somebody probably did it for him.
Yeah, it's like I said, you know, it's like one of the nicest things you can do for someone. Because I'll hear it from a lot of people, or I used to, you know, when I was working and trying to come up in the shop. People would say, if you have to borrow it more than twice, you got to buy your own. And it's like, yeah, I would love to, but I need to buy $20,000 worth of tools, and I make, you know, $12 an hour, and this is my first job, you know. It's not easy to do, and so having a person to help you out in that regard is helpful and very important. But, you know, I'd have to assume the kid that he helped earned it, you know, because that's kind of how that goes, is you don't just give someone your toolbox at the end of your career. You let a guy work out of your toolbox, and that guy does you the favor of returning the tools where he found them and cleaning them when he's done. And, you know, you start to eventually kind of earn the respect, the mutual respect of that sort of transaction. And I think that it's kind of cool to see that in this trade, and how some people will help you out, and some people will, you better have your own this or that, and then they're a little less helpful. But yeah, I don't know. That is cool.
Yeah, and back to that IT thing you were saying, you can get away with it where you're at, but in my old area, it was like, oh no, you can't. In fact, this was years ago, so it would have been in the late 90s, early 2000s. I brought in a word processor, small portable word processor, and I was making, you know, changes in how to do a shift schedule, and it was working out. It was great, you know, but then IT got wind of it, and it was a non-authorized IT device. I was ordered not to bring that in anymore. So, you know, you're lucky you didn't work for, a government.
Yeah, we don't quite work for the government, but they are very strict.
I could never bring in a computer and connect it to our network, you know. We can't even bring in thumb drives and connect them to our network because we do government work, so they are very strict. So when it comes to, like, a monitor or a keyboard or a mouse, they tend to allow that. But that's the thing I kind of hate about the IT world is they're so strict with a lot of things that it hampers progress, and that's unfortunate because it really shouldn't. You should try to find a way to accommodate, but I bet you see it. I bet Sean sees it. I bet a lot of people hate that.
NHWRO. Yeah, I see that for data security. When we have sensitive stuff, you want to be careful about that, especially nowadays, even probably more so. I mean, when I first started, it was the late 80s. Early 80s. And they were on a mainframe. And the only one that had the mainframe was Mount Clemens General Hospital. So we were swapping parts back and forth to keep it going. And then, of course, we slowly changed to monochrome monitors, different system. And then, of course, finally, where we're at today is really. And just before I started, it was actually a manual system for everything. Everything was on paper. There was no computers at all.
Yeah, I guess I was born into that. You know, it was before computers, before the internet. But I wasn't working yet. So I saw a little bit of it. My dad was really cool in the sense that he bought a computer early on, you know, like Windows 3.1 with, all the bells and whistles back in the day. It was an expensive computer. And so I've kind of been dabbling with it for a long time. But I couldn't imagine. I mean, I guess I can. I kind of saw it too. Because I worked at places, which I'm sure you'll remember, that, you know, it's the reason why we still use carbon copy in emails. And you would get a carbon copy of a document after you signed it or wrote on it. And we had that for a lot of our, you know, when I started in manufacturing, we had a fair amount of manual processes that weren't done on a computer. But they were kind of nice, you know, because then we would have these interdepartmental orders. And that was like a place saver for something that had to be done. And so you would always be able to reference that, or, you know, you had to do something with it. You couldn't just throw it away. But with the way the digital stuff is now, it can kind of get lost a little bit more. You don't have that paper place saver. You might have a task now, which I kind of like, but kind of hate at the same time.
Yeah, as long as everything's working well, it's fine. But it's kind of similar to, you know, the hospital, and that's what we're talking about. If stuff goes down, those old systems are no longer in place. So I think they have sort of a rudimentary workaround with stuff like that. But we used to have a lot of forms. You think the ICS forms that we're probably going to see more of this weekend, the county had a lot of forms, which have since gone away, of course. One was the radio log, and it was like a very thin, like, tissue paper. It literally had carbon paper in between it, and it was like 7 copies. And, of course, it went into a manual typewriter, and you really had to hit those keys hard for it to get on the 7th copy. But I remember throwing boxes and boxes of those away when I had to clean out some room. It just seems like such a waste. But those days are long gone.
Yeah, those are cool days. I think you and I were talking about how we miss the old printers that were like a continuous ream with like the little holes in both sides of the paper, and that's where like the weather reports would come out of, and you just rip it off, or the news, you know, the National Weather Service alert or whatever, you just rip it off the printer and read it. They used to have that in radio and TV as well when I was in high school, and those were really cool. And being in this hobby, I sort of want to do that again, just because, especially for what we do when it comes to weather alerts and whatnot, it'd be cool to have one of those old printers where we just rip it off there.
Oh, yeah. That's the same thing I was thinking about. It's the old teletype machine. It had a roll of, like, newsprint paper, and that would be the older version, and it would just clickety-clack away, and, then, you know, you just rip it off for the latest update, right? And they'd also had a tape machine for programming in BASIC, well, whatever language, there's a few. BASIC, Fortran, COBOL, Snowball, there's a bunch. And then we went to the Deck Writers. The Deck Writers was a dot matrix printer, and it was the green bar stock that was tractor fed. And that was pretty cool, too.
Weird. I don't know that I've ever heard a full weather report like that, but I just passed my destination. I'm getting tailgated, too, so this is lovely. But I'm going to dip out real quick, and I got to drop off a dry suit at a friend's house, and then I'll be right back.
All right, John. Well, actually, I think I might call it a day. But you have a good one. I'm sure we'll probably talk tomorrow. N-A-W-R-O. After you, if you've got a last.
Okay, all good. I'm back on track, about to pull into his driveway again, for real this time. But all right, we'll talk to you tomorrow. K-E-A-W-U-O.
Zero Foxtrot 8, off your Delta listening.
Connected to CMN Network.
WDHKLL, KFA, GIC. One more time. WDHKLL, KFA, GIC. KFA, GIC, clear.
K-E-A-W-U-O.
You're connected to CMN Network.
KD-8-IWS Mobile.
K-E-A-I-W-S. I am also mobile. How's it going today? This evening, I suppose.
Real good. I just crossed over the Zilwaukee Bridge, northbound I-75, headed to Fenton. That's Kilo Delta 8, India Whiskey Sierra. Got that? Curse the name here, by the way.
Yeah, I got that. Name here is John. Yeah, you're a ways up there. You're talking all the way down here in Warren. So I assume you're either hitting Warren or Detroit. But yeah, you're getting in pretty well. How many watts are you pushing?
Well, let's see. I just came down off the Zilwaukee Bridge, so when I'm on the Zilwaukee Bridge, I've got really good signal. If I'm too scratchy at this point, we'll call it a night, John, but let me know if I'm still hitting the repeater.
Gotcha, yeah, so far so good. You're a little scratchy, but fully readable.
Yeah, okay, John, I copy that. And likewise, so I think that I'm getting closer to the northern repeater that's not too far from Bay City. This is the Lynx network. I'm trying to think of a little city a little bit southeast of Bay City. Anyway, yeah, not too much traffic. I'm coming down from the Gaylord area and making real good time.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I don't know why I spaced on that, but you are on the MI-1 network, and you're probably not using the repeater I am, especially where you're at. So, yeah, you're coming in pretty good. Very cool. What's your plans? You're just coming down for vacation, or you live up there normally, or what brings you over the bridge?
Well, we have a cabin 20 minutes south of Boyne. And I do a fair amount of fishing up on Grand Traverse Bay, Lake Charlevoix, and Lake Michigan. So I've been up there since, what's today? Today is Tuesday. I think I went up on Wednesday or Thursday last week. I know I've been up there at least 6 days. My son came up. We took our boat, and we were fishing for lake trout and salmon. Had success on all the days that we went out. Let's say this: we did not get skunked. KD8IWS Mobile. Southbound I-75. Go ahead.
All right. KEAWUO. That's very cool. Sounds like a good fishing trip and a lot of fun. Lake Charlevoix is a fun place. I haven't been up there in a couple of years, but we do ice diving up there on the Kuka. I don't know if you've ever tried to fish on that, but it's a pretty cool wreck there in Lake Charlevoix. From what I understand, it's a little bit in a shipping channel, per se, so I don't know how easy it is to fish there, it's a pretty cool lake, and I never get to hold the fish, and a lot of times they just swim away, so that'd be kind of cool to do some of that big lake fishing and pull in some of those salmon and trouts and whatnot. Did you say you went with your son?
Yes, my son came up to the cabin, and we drove up together. He's got a truck that he left up there, and then we drove up together. I pulled our boat. I've got a 24-foot offshore center console that we pulled up there and spent 6 days. So we go out one day, rest the next day, go out another day, rest the next day, go out another day. We typically get up about 4 a.m. It's about an hour drive to where we put the boat in, 45 minutes, something like that. When we go to Grand Traverse Bay, we run the east arm from Yuba, Michigan, on up to Elk Rapids, right up the center of the East Arm Bay. So, fishing was pretty darn good. So that's the deal on that. So what brings you on the air at this time of night? Let's see, it's about 9, about 9:45.
Yeah, I I tried to drop off a dry suit to a buddy, because he's a fellow diver as well, and it was an old dry suit that needs a little bit of love, and I tried to lend it to him in hopes that he could get some life out of it, but he didn't fit in it. He's got some big caps. whereas I don't, and I almost hit a skunk, I'm driving back from that attempt, and just figured I'd throw out the call sign while I'm on the road.
Well, that's what radio's about. Absolutely. Well, that's interesting. So you're a diver. We actually, on Saturday, over the weekend, this past weekend, there is an event called Boyne Thunder. Look it up online. It's called Boyne Thunder. And they've got all kinds of YouTube videos. It was this past weekend. I went on Saturday. It's a poker run with cigarette boats. There was one turbine cigarette boat. So he fired up his jet engines as he was going out of the channel, out of Lake Charlevoix, out into Lake Michigan, and they do a poker run with boats. You know, oftentimes they'll have a poker run with cars. You know, you drive to destination points, you get a car, you meet back up to the finish line, and the car or the boat that has the best hand wins the event. They do it for typically charity. They donate all the money that's made, and there might be a little bit of an incentive on the poker run, but for the most part, it's a charity event. And there's thousands of people that go to this event in Charlevoix this time of year. It's one of the biggest events of the year. And so I went to that over the weekend. But tell me a little bit about your diving what you enjoy doing, where you like to dive. Are you looking for anything in particular, or do you do it for a living? Fill me in on that.
So I just do it as a hobby. I get used to kind of do it for a living, but just like any hobby, it kind of ruins it. So I kind of got out of doing it for a living and started doing it kind of recreationally, I'd say. Although we are, you know, I am training to be, you know, a technical diver and getting the training for all that to hopefully get into cave diving and all that one day. But main places I like to dive would definitely be the Great Lakes, Lake Huron, and all the shipwrecks there. I did really enjoy the Lake Charlevoix shipwreck dive, because it's kind of neat to, you basically walk about a half mile offshore on Lake Charlevoix, and you cut a hole in the ice, and just like you would when you go ice fishing, but it's probably a bigger hole, and there's a shipwreck right underneath there. And what we do is we'll go out there, we'll drill a little hole like you guys do, and we'll put a little game camera down there and prove that we are indeed on the shipwreck. And we might move more centrally located on the wreck, and then we'll cut the big hole and dive. But But yeah, I don't know. It's pretty cool to see the wrecks. I don't know if you've ever caught a burbot, but there's a lot of those on the shipwrecks, on like almost every shipwreck, and they're always lethargic, seeming or sleeping or hibernating when we see them. But I believe they're nocturnal, so you might see them if you fish at night.
That's interesting. Wow. I had a buddy that, he's still a buddy. He lives up in Alpena. And he loves to dive as well. And, you know, Alpena, Lake Huron side, there is a lot of wrecks. I'm sure you have taken opportunity to dive. So, I've never heard of that fish, actually, but diving in the winter, wow, you have to do some pretty serious preparation. Obviously, you've got dry suits. I don't know how long you can stay down, but wow, that's pretty daring. Sounds pretty thrilling, but I don't know if I could do that. Is the water pretty clear in Lake Charlevoix when you dive on those wrecks in the wintertime?
K-E-A-W-U-O. You know, and that's like the beauty of diving in the wintertime is all the algae, you know, plumes are dying out. All the boat traffic has stopped, you know, especially when it ices up because you don't have a lot of the, erosion and all that, introducing dirt into the water column. So the visibility of all the Great Lakes in early spring or during the winter, you know, is phenomenal. And we'll easily see 70 to 100 feet of vis on Lake Charlevoix on the Kuka, and it's really cool in that regard. I'm sure that's not how it is now, you know, with the full boat season being on, and then the heat of the summer, and the algae blooms and all that. But if you were to, you know, bring a little underwater camera when you do some ice fishing, and you were to go out there, you could see the wreck with that camera very well, and so yeah, I don't know. I think it'd be kind of neat to see the wrecks on the side scan. I see them a little bit, you know, in 150 feet of water or whatever when we do some of the shipwreck dives, but I think it'd be kind of cool to see a shallower wreck with like more recreational equipment. It's definitely pretty decent visibility. Do you do a lot of ice fishing? You get out at all in the colder months?
Well, I have done ice fishing. It's not a passion of mine, but I do enjoy it when I do go. We've got a really nice ice shanty. But this intrigues me. So tell me where the, I guess I can look it up online, but where is that wreck located? And, side scan is the next piece of electronics that we're going to get for my boat. And that would be the ultimate with what I have now. Adding side scan to that is pretty cool. But where approximately, and was that, give me the spelling on that wreck, because I want to look it up on my charts so I can at least go over it. I could probably pick it up with my downscan equipment. I could probably see it.
All right. I think he dropped out there. I hope that's all it was. I'll throw out the spelling real quick first, and that should I should give you fast results. And then, you know, I'll just make sure that you're still there before I go any further. But the spelling is K-E-U-K-A, and I search for Kuka Shipwreck, and it comes up right away. It's a 172-foot sunken lumber barge in Michigan's Lake Charlevoix, originally built in 1889, and it was converted into a floating speakeasy dance hall during Prohibition, and there's a lot of rumors about how it went down and that they were actually drinking on it during Prohibition, and that it was kind of like, you know, the who's who of the Charlevoix area would go out there and they would, you know, drink and party and have good times. But there was like a big fire, I think, that happened, and a big investigation, and then it sank, and I think a lot of people got arrested or got in trouble or something, but hopefully you're still there, K-E-A-W-U-O. If you need me to repeat that spelling, let me know.
No, that's great. No, I got everything. Hopefully I'm still there. Give me an okay if I'm still in. Am I still getting into the repeater?
K-E-A-W-U-O. Anyone out there?
Yeah, I might be too far from the repeater. All right, John, we'll catch you later. This is KD8IWS Mobile, southbound I-75.
Okay, yeah, I'm sorry to hear that. I'll try to catch you on the next one, and we'll take it from there. But if you're still listening, it was K-E-U-K-A, K-E-U-K-A, Kuka.
Okay, John, yep, I did get that, K-E-A-K-U, got it. All right, 73, KD8IWS Mobile, clear.
All righty, well, you have a good one, and we'll talk again some other day. K-E-A-W-U-O, clear.
K-E-A-W-U-O. John, can you still copy me?
Yeah, I can. I turned off the channel for a second, but I'm back now.
Okay. Yeah, I must, when I come off of Zilwaukee, I'm kind of down in the valley. I'm on a little bit higher ground, so as long as I'm not scratchy, I don't know how far do you have to go before you're to your QTH or wherever your next destination is.
I'm actually, I did just pull into the QTH, but I have no qualms hanging out for a minute if you want.
Yeah, okay. Just a question. Have you gone over to Alpena and gone on the dove on the shipwrecks offshore of Alpena?
I have not done Alpena yet, but we just got back from Mackinac. The majority of what I dive is probably mostly in Lake Huron. Done a couple in Lake Michigan that kind of don't count because they're in Mackinac, so, you know, it doesn't really feel like it's Lake Michigan, but I guess it is. And then we dove Superior a couple times, and Superior was cool because we went up by Isle Royale, and we did a five-day live aboard up there, and that was awesome. I also haven't dove the ocean yet, so pretty much all my diving is here in the Great Lakes, a little bit in the St. Lawrence Seaway and quarries across Ohio and Michigan. A couple little other states out of, you know, a couple other small ponds out of state, but that was when I was doing, you know, commercial type diving, and so those were shallow. Those didn't count.
Wow, so you did a liveaboard. That means was it a dive vessel that they actually take you out to Isle Royale? And then is it a guided dive, or it's a dive boat and then you're on your own once you get to Isle Royale?
Yeah, so it is a live aboard, and it is a dive vessel. Actually, all the diving that we tend to do is off of a charter boat, you know, a dive vessel. We'll actually charter the captain to bring us out there, because we dive with doubles, steel tanks, and we bring a lot of gear. We'll bring scooters, we'll bring stage bottles and deco bottles and all kinds of heavy crap. There's no guide, you know. They basically take you out to a buoy, or a lot of the markers for these shipwrecks, especially in the Great Lakes, outside of Alpena and Mackinac, are basically like milk jugs out there floating tied to a rope that's tied to a wreck, you know, laundry jugs and, you know, some sort of solvent solution jugs, and that's just out there floating. So if you ever see that, there's a good chance there's a shipwreck on the bottom of it. The boat pulls up to those jugs and grabs hold of that line and moors to the ship, and then we just basically dive down that line, and at the bottom of it we find the shipwreck, and then it's up to us to go wherever we want on the shipwreck. And there's no guide, but they will tell you above shore on like a little placard or old picture of the ship before it went down, you know, like these are the places of interest that, you know, I would suggest that you go take a look at. But for the most part, it's, you know, whatever we want to do. And it was pretty cool. Just a blast. You know, I really enjoy it. And we love our boat captains. So if you ever want to get into chart business, let me know.
Well, it sounds really interesting. Diving has always intrigued me. So when you get down on the wreck, are you able to actually, have you ever gone inside a vessel, a sunken vessel?
Connected to CMN Network.
So it's, you know, it can be kind of forgiving. There's a ship, well, like the Kuka, for instance, is an old wooden boat, and it has, like, these cargo bays that are cut into it. So you can kind of go into the big cargo bay, and it's just wide open. Most of these shipwrecks, you know, for whatever reason, a lot of the internal structures starts to degrade, but they also, like a lot of the big shipwrecks, are other shipping vessels, and so there's a lot of room in them to putz around. When it comes to like bigger freighters, there's like the Cedarville and the Straits of Mackinac. That's probably the biggest shipwreck that I can think of off the top of my head. That's like maybe what you might expect a freighter to be like underwater. That one gets a little bit more complex and scary, tricky, dangerous, you know, you name your favorite term. But, when you start to get inside of the wreck, it starts to get a little hairy, because the wreck's on its side, and you're trying to go through doorways that are on their side. And then, you know, your fins and your bubbles as you go in there will start to kick up sediment. And you might have a really fun time, you know, forging ahead going through that shipwreck, but when you turn around and you see what you did behind you and how nearly impossible it will be to be able to see your way out, you get into a lot of trouble real quick. And so that's where, like, good dive etiquette, good trim, line, and kind of doing it right become important. So, yes, but with... Sorry, I had a time out there. But yes, with some minor caveats. I'll send it back to you in case I don't have it.
Yeah, okay, John. Kilo Delta 8 IWS. Yes, wow. That is, you would not want to have claustrophobia because you could get yourself in trouble in a hurry. Obviously, you probably buddy dive. Are there times that you use a safety line where that you could follow your line back out? It sounds really scary to me, especially in some of those big freighter dives. And the other question, do you see fish when you go through those freighters?
Yeah, but not always. I guess I probably always do. You see the little gobies. Those things are everywhere. But then you also see the burbot. The burbots, for whatever reason, they love the shipwrecks. And they are not shy. You know, they, fish in general, when you're underwater, they're very curious. They'll come up to you, especially in the St. Clair River. They'll come up to you and check you out. They kind of beg for food. They're like dogs. There's a lot of divers that'll dig for bottles and old electrical insulators, and you know, they're collecting artifacts from the St. Clair River, and they'll pull up not shrimp, the thing that looks like a shrimp. I forget what it is. It's on the tip of my tongue. But yeah, they hand feed those little things to the fish, and they just love them. Occasionally we do see, you know, I've seen a sturgeon, just a single sturgeon, out in the middle of Lake Huron on a shipwreck. And then last time was the first time I saw a school of whitefish on a shipwreck, and that was pretty neat because I don't normally see schools of whitefish, and so that was cool to see them on a shipwreck, and they're, you know, they weren't particularly afraid. A lot of the like when you're out in the Great Lakes, the fish tend to be a little bit more standoffish because they don't normally see people, and so when they do, they're like, I'm going to get out of here. But in like the St. Clair River, they're a lot more used to divers. They're a lot more used to seeing people, and so they'll hang out with you.
Well, that is cool. Crayfish, crawdads, crayfish, is that the term you were thinking of? And then also, how do you negotiate the current of the St. Clair River? There's pretty stiff current through there. Or are you out in Lake St. Clair in the shipping channels? Or how do you, where's your, what is that like?
K-E-8-W-U-O. So the river dives are, you just, they kind of call them drift dives, where you just, you know, we do go under the Blue Water Bridge all through Marine City, Marysville, all those areas. We don't quite hit the Detroit River, because there's some, you know, legality reasons for staying out of there. But the northern, north of the St. Clair Lake St. Clair, we do dive in all of that. And yeah, you just get in there and you let it take you. You know, you don't fight it. You just enjoy the ride. You know, and maybe it kind of makes it a little easier because you don't have to kick and you just kind of glide along. It does get a little bit more interesting with, you know, with the current. If you face the water, if you face into the current, you can kind of start to get water pushed into your regulator, and that, you know, ends up in your mouth, and, you know, so you got to blow that out of your regulator, blast it out of the regulator. But for the most part, it's really easy to dive. It's hard to get out because you got to climb over a seawall up a crappy ladder with a lot of weight on your back. So that's probably the hardest part. But oh, and then also it's kind of hard to stay with your buddy, but not impossible. And yeah, you mentioned that earlier. We do dive as ideally a dive team of at most three, but at least two. We try not to dive alone. Just based our agency suggests we don't, based on what we do.
Wow. So have you dove off, or is it legal to dive off the seawall at Port Huron? You know, say Blue Water Bridge, et cetera. Do you dive actually off the seawall? Are those the ladders you're talking about climbing up?
Yeah, that's the spot. That's where you go in. You know, there's a beach a little bit north of that Riverwalk area in Port Huron where you can get in there and then just drift down and then climb out over the seawall once you're pushed upstream a bit. But yeah, most of the diving in the St. Clair River is done right there by the Blue Water Bridge. And there's a lot of fishermen there, and a lot of them will ask us, hey, you know, I was magnet fishing, and I threw my big expensive magnet over the wall, and it stuck to the seawall. So if you see it, can you grab that for me? And it's always funny, because I think some of the, and you would know, some of that fishing gear, some of the lures, and the magnets and all that, I think it's expensive. And but we find and see a lot of it, and it's funny how they can swell, like the worms they get like five times bigger when they're down there for a year or two, but yeah we do a fair amount of diving off the out, you know, near the Blue Water Bridge. The Detroit is where it gets illegal, but pretty much anywhere from, you know, Lake St. Clair north is perfectly legal, but you do have to have the dive flag and be wary of freighters and boat traffic and fishermen and all that. But yep, it's doable.
Oh wow, that is awesome. Yeah, that section of river, it moves pretty quick. I'm really surprised. I mean, obviously you've got weighted belts, that helps out, et cetera, but that current, that really rolls through there. One of our boats that we sold was a 36-footer. Would have been ideal for your dive team. And the people I sold it to moved it over to Port Huron. I think they dock it in Black River, I think it is, just south of Port Huron. And my wife and I were over walking the Riverwalk underneath the Blue Water Bridge, and we saw our boat. We looked at it, we thought, it's got a big fly bridge on it. We thought, that looks like our boat. And when it went past, it was our boat, and but I can't believe you dived that over there. I didn't deliver the boat when I sold it. I had a captain buddy of mine deliver it because he says, he told me, he says, Kurt, he says, when you sell a vessel, he said, you don't want to deliver it with the family on board. You want to have a captain do that. Once you sell it, you don't go back on the boat. So I had my buddy that's a captain, he delivered it from Au Gray, where I had it. I was in East Tawas at the time. I had it docked there, and then they hired him to take it over to Port Huron with the family. But yeah, man, I'm pretty impressed, John. Your dive experience, that sounds awesome. I've never talked to a diver with that much experience. Go ahead.
Yeah, we kind of take it pretty seriously. it's been like my main hobby for the last 7 years or so, and just taking training class after training class, and a lot of diving and exposure all over the place. I'd say the St. Lawrence River was a little crazier because it has currents that will push you up and down, and so you know you're trying to dive with your dive mates, and you'll all of a sudden get shoved down to 120 feet, and you're supposed to be at 60 feet with your friends, and one friend got pushed up to 40 feet, and you know it can be a little tricky to navigate in the St. Lawrence River. But the Detroit River is—it just kind of shoves you along. By far the hardest part about it is getting out. You know, climbing up over that seawall, and like the initial ladder on the seawall isn't bad, but where it gets bad is when you have to climb over the handrail, because that gets a little bit trickier. Because you kind of got to treat the handrail as a ladder, and there's not as many rungs, and when you have all that weight on you, it does get tricky. But yeah, I don't know. It's a fun hobby. It keeps me out of trouble for the most part. And it's kind of cool because you see a part of the world that a lot of people don't get to see. And the underwater world is very neat.
Well, that's awesome. Well, I just got off at the Fenton exit, Silver Lake Road. So I'm going to say 7-3, John. It's been very interesting talking to you. I'll try to remember to write your call down. And I'm probably starting to get a little scratchy. But you have a good remainder of the week. And I hope we talk again sooner than later. How's that? Give me your call sign very slowly so I can write it down. 7-3, John, KD8IWS, Mobile. Back to you, and I'll be clear on your final.
All right. The call sign is Kilo Echo 8, Whiskey Uniform Oscar. That's KD8WUO. I do have you pulled up on QRZ here as KD8IWS. And I see you have an email here. If you would like, I can forward you a link to the Kuka shipwreck that you were asking about earlier.
Yeah, please do that, John. I couldn't find my pencil, so. Yeah, go ahead and send me an email with the information, a little bit about yourself, and your call sign, etc. Good talking with you, man. I'm pulling into town, so I'll probably start losing the repeater. 7-3, I appreciate it. Have a good night.
Alrighty, 73s to you. Take care. Thanks for the QSO. It was a lot of fun. I always like talking about diving. I think everybody in my area gets tired of hearing about it, though. Thanks for letting me talk about diving. But all right, well, we'll talk again soon. KE8WUO.